Well, let me exhort you over the offering for just a moment. Turn to Mark 10, put a marker in Galatians 4. I like to call this one where the old covenant meets the new covenant. Well, I'm telling you again, this isn't the word, really just me saying it. The Lord has prophesied time and time again that when the revival of signs and wonders really breaks out, and not that we don't, hey, we've been seeing signs and wonders all week, have we not? But we're talking about, where it's even much more manifest than it is now. The kind where CBS, ABC, and NBC will be bringing their cameras and broadcasting it because nobody can deny it. But see, when that comes out, the Lord has prophesied that at that same time or slightly preceding, there's also going to come a revival of finances. And the Lord is going to raise up gospel entrepreneurs and also God-appointed stewards of finances who are going to be dead to greed, dead to the flesh, and are going to understand that they are stewards of these finances for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for that to happen now, I mean, I'm telling you right now, we're going to have to change our mentality from the law to the new covenant. I'm going to show it to you here from Scripture. Now, here we've got a man, this is real familiar. This is the rich young ruler. I know you first heard about him in Sunday school, but we're going to look at it again just for a moment. Now, understand, this is before the cross. This man is a godly man. He loves God. We'll find out here he's done his best to keep the law his whole life, and he did his part. God did his part. You know, what was the promise under Deuteronomy 28? If you obey, these blessings will come upon thee, all these blessings, and none of the curses will come upon you. Well, this guy is a product of that. He's kept the law, been diligent, done everything he knew to do, and so God kept his part, and he's become a very wealthy man. But now, see, he's coming face to face with Jesus in the flesh. He's coming face to face with the new covenant. He just doesn't know it yet. So anyway, here he comes, Mark 10:17. And when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Now notice how he starts giving him the law. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Well, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And you notice Jesus doesn't say, Are you liar? See, because we know that no one perfectly kept the law. But the conditions of the law were this. If you failed, if you sinned, then you offered the appropriate sacrifice, like an innocent lamb. Then that lamb atoned for your sins, pointing towards the cross. But according to the law, then, once the sacrifice was offered, you were innocent. Isn't that right? So he's just saying, I've done it. The requirements of the law. Jesus doesn't rebuke him or say, No, you haven't. So then Jesus, beholding him, notice, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now wait a minute. I can just see this man hearing this from the mouth of Jesus. And I can just almost hear his mind running like a Rolodex flipping. You know, he's going like, give away everything that I have. Where in the law is that? You see, no, it's not in Leviticus, not in Deuteronomy, and none of the prophets, you know. No, see, under the old covenant, everything was motivated by promise or curse. Every parent understands this. This is how God dealt with a spiritually dead people. Every parent understands this. You're raising up your child, clean up your room. If you clean up your room, there may be ice cream. If you don't clean up the room, there might be a curse. You know, there might be a spanking, you know. Well, that's exactly the way God dealt with his spiritually dead people. If you'll obey me, then I'll give you these blessings. And if you don't, it's not going to be so good. Well, so this man, his whole life was trained under that system. So whenever he gave, there was always a blessing. A promise of more coming back than what he gave. And if you'll notice, most of the teaching we have today on TV preachers when it comes to finances, most of those promises come out of the law. It's because that's how that system was based. See, but he doesn't know it. He is standing face to face with the new covenant. People under this covenant We are not hired. We are owned. It's not a case of 90% is yours and 10% is the Lord's. Honey, if the Lord asks for it, just like here, it's all His. Even your blood, if He asks for it. It's a totally different covenant. Well, don't be so harsh on the man. The cross hasn't come yet. He's not born again. He's never heard anything like this in his life. It's not that he didn't love Jesus, but this is an unregenerate man. And he's looking, he goes, Lord, I really want to follow you. That's why I came, but I also love my wealth. And I love you, and I love my wealth. And see, Jesus already knew this. One thing thou lack. When it came right down to it, he loved his wealth more. And Jesus goes on to tell about, well, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. But see, this man is going to have to change. Jesus wasn't kidding him. You're going to have to accept this new covenant if you're going to follow me. You can't stay with the old because the old covenant is about to change. You can't stay under that old system. Now, why? Because people today, I'm telling you, if you listen to the teaching, they're going to take you to Malachi, they're going to take you to Proverbs, they're going to take you to all of those verses that promise you the kind of things under the old covenant that this man lived under. But see, this revival, this supernatural revival of finances that's coming, I'm going to show you, it cannot happen with the mindset of the law. Go to Galatians 4. We have got to become a new covenant minded people. Now, as you know, the whole book of Galatians, these were Christians that had been born again. Now the Judaizers had come and they're saying, well, if you want to be perfect, though, I don't care if you are a Christian, you're going to have to keep the law. So they were trying to put them back under the law. Very much what's going on with a lot of TV preaching today when it comes to finances. Now notice this. Galatians 4, starting in verse 21. Just tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. You got that? These represent the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. That's talking about the law. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Here's the verse. I've said all that to leave it in context leading up to this verse. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Why? For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You're not going to walk in the Lord's inheritance and keep the mindset of the law. Can't do it. Just like the rich young ruler, if you've got that motivation, everything that Jesus tells you to do, you're going to rebel against it. You're not going to be able to do it. Your motivation, everything about it is wrong. You're not spiritually dead. You are spiritually born from the loins of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're from another world and a whole different set of motivations to be about our Father's business. That's the only thing really that motivates us. We don't need trinkets in the flesh. We don't need that. What we feed on is what heaven feeds on, and that's the souls of men and women born into the kingdom of God. That's what fuels our desire. Now look at it again. Don't get mixed up. When they're preaching law to you and trying to motivate you with the flesh, like the rich young ruler, if it still motivates you, you need to pray more. That the Holy Spirit drive the money changers out of your temple. He will do it too. All right, here it is again. Get this straight. Can they both be heir? What does it say? Can you stay under? Say, well, I just want to keep operating by the law just in case. Well, that just in case is going to keep you from your inheritance. Now look at it again. I didn't write this. For the son of the bondwoman. I read the whole thing in context. Who is that? That's the law. Everything to do with the law. The son of the bondwoman will be heir with great difficulty. Shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now see, since I get to leave town, I can be real rough and you can't find me, you know. If you're tithing because they're putting you under the curse, if that is your motivation, stop it. That curse ended at the cross. Gary, do you believe in tithing? I believe it's a good start. I believe 10% is a good start. But I believe the motivation of it not being under that curse, Jesus already bore that curse. Now, come on. In that same book, he already bore that curse on the tree for you. The entire curse of the law. Should you tithe? I believe it's a good start. But I don't believe in doing anything under the law because I want to be an heir with my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to walk in His inheritance, and you can't do it under the law. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. You can't do it either. Hallelujah. Bow your head for a moment. Well, Father, this is the time. Lord, if you have an amount that you'd like any individual here to give, Lord, speak to their hearts. They're listening. I know they can hear your voice because they're your sheep. Your sheep hear your voice. If you speak an amount to them, Lord, I know that's what they'll give. But then if you're in this room and you go, Gary, I'm listening, but I'm not hearing. Well, then the other New Testament way, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. Not by necessity, not by law. He doesn't want it that way. He wants it from your heart. He wants it because you're motivated by the same things he's motivated by. To see this gospel preached to every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, everywhere.
For there are those in my church who have taught you that man cannot know the ways of God. That you cannot understand how I move and how I operate. But you need to understand that my original plan for man, revealed in Genesis, was for man to understand me and to know me. That was corrupted when man fell. And today people say and teach you that you cannot know me and you cannot understand my ways. And they will say things like, God's ways are higher than our ways, so we cannot know them. But what I was telling you in that passage is that, yes, my ways are higher than your ways, but I did not say you cannot know my ways. I was telling you that I do not operate as you operate. I do not move as you move. You make many assumptions about me, and these assumptions are wrong. For I have said that you can know my mind, and you can understand these things that are mysteries. And I have given to you my Holy Spirit to help you understand these things. For you see, the way that I move and the way that I operate in your midst, it's based upon the foundation of my word. I will never operate outside the boundaries of my word. Therefore, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a revelation of what I have said about me in my word. He wants to teach you how I move. He wants to teach you how I think. He wants to teach you what I will do. For in spite of the fact that many have taught you, you can't know what God will do. You'll never know what God will do. Have I not said in my word that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come? Have I not said that my Holy Spirit will reveal unto you the things that are in the mind of Christ? You must learn that my word given to you is a revelation of who I am, what I am to you, what I will do for you, how I will move, how I think, how I operate, and I say, you can know me. You can know what I'll do. You can know my will. But you must lay aside the traditions that will tell you that I don't speak anymore. That when the apostles died and the Bible was written, I ceased speaking. You must lay down the traditions that tell you you can't hear from God. You can't know what I want. And that some things just happen that are beyond explanation. But I say unto you, I am your Father. You are my children. It is my desire for you to know my heart. And when you know my heart, you will know how I move. Remember, I love you, and I want to give you a great, wonderful revelation of who I am as your Father. So lay aside the traditions that actually point you away from me and embrace the revelation of my word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit who will explain these things in my word. And you will come to the place of understanding what I do, how I move, how I minister to people. You will come to the place of understanding my word. And there is great joy in knowing me. So seek me. And believe these things that I have said. For I will reveal myself to you. Remember, the veil has been rent in half. And you are welcome into the Holy of Holies and my divine presence. So come to me and learn of me and know who I am and live daily with the understanding of my will, says the Lord.
Open up to Mark chapter 10. Let me exhort you for a moment. And while you're turning there, I know many of you have to work and couldn't be at the morning service. And, you know, we don't really have a set outline or a set plan of what's going to happen all during the week. As far as I knew, I'd be doing all the morning services, and the Lord's been real gracious to show me the, you know, what to teach. And but boy, I was preparing for today, like yesterday, last night, and this morning, and heaven was silent. You know, I felt like calling the office desk at the motel and said, "Operator, operator, get me Jesus on the line. I got nothing." You know, and I was telling Jim, and it's because the Lord gave him the message. Boy, if you weren't able to be here this morning, you need to hear that message. And Jim Martin, I highly recommend his website, jmmgrace.com. He is the most line upon line, precept upon preacher that I know. And I just highly recommend it to you. Well, I'm just going to exhort you for a moment over the offering. And I know they've got new people here tonight. I just want to tell you again, when we do these things, we're not trying to wring every dollar out of you. There's just some that are, this is their only service or their first service to be here. They haven't had an opportunity to give. Plus, it gives us a chance to give a little 5 or 10 minute sermonette and do a little teaching on finances, which really this isn't a finance seminar. But so let's look here at Mark 10. And of course, I'm always a hungry guy. I like barbecue. And so I like sacred cow barbecue best. And so tonight we're going to barbecue the hundredfold return. Well, Sue and I got born again in 1980, and during the 80s, we really was the pinnacle of the prosperity movement, and they were teaching on the hundredfold return. I'd never heard anything like this in my life, you know, and I still remember, I can remember the service in 1980, the first time I sat in a camp meeting and heard for the first time somebody teach that, and they went to Mark 10. Did I tell you turn to Mark 10? Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, the verse they use here is, starting in verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels." And it says it right here. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time. I mean, it just seems not off in heaven, not in your heavenly reward. Doesn't it say now in this time? Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now, real quickly, they say, with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life, you know. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And the way it was presented to me, and again, this is before the days, this was many years before we met Pastor Dave and before we knew the laws of meditation. They would just take these two verses out by themselves and preach it. And the way it was presented was, now listen, what this means. And they'd go always like this. Now, those of you that have a red letter edition, I want you to notice these are not the words of just any man. These are the words of the Master himself. The guarantee from heaven. Every dollar you put in the offering, every dollar you give him, you have the promise of the Son of God. He will multiply it 100-fold back to you. Now see, the thing of it is, when you first get born again, you're like a little bird, you know. You know, they say, swallow the hay and spit out the sticks. That only works if you know what the sticks are. I didn't know. I'm thinking, my goodness, I'd never heard anything like this in my life. Now, see, I'm just one of those guys. I just take them at their word. On the way home, I didn't even stop. On the way home, I stopped by an office supply house, and I bought one of those big accounting ledgers. Got home, I started going back. Well, that's what the man said. I started going through my checkbook. We hadn't been saved real long, but I started going back through there. Okay, we gave here. On such and such date, check number 2294, we gave to God, zama zama dollars, times 100, God owes me. That's what the man said. And I was totaling. I said, Sue, we're already millionaires. Look at this. Look at this, my God. Where is it? And where is it? And where is it? Dear God, where is it? Time went on, you know. Frank Bauer, who's one of the ministers that operates through the prayer center, runs a rehab house. He says he went through about $800,000 before he started questioning whether that would really work or not. I can go you one better. I know a man that went through about $7 million. Kept going back to the, it wasn't working for him. He kept going back to the pastor, and the pastor said, it was always the same. You're just not giving enough. $7 million. Well, thank God for the laws of meditation. Thank God for the, for praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look at what it really says. Look at verse 29. Verily I say unto you, does it say every man that gives into an offering? It says, there is no man that has left his house, his brother, his sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, so forth. I never really understood that verse until the first time that I went overseas without Sue. The first time I went overseas was Poland, and she went with me. But then the very next month, I went to Africa, and circumstances were such she just couldn't go with me. And that's the first time I was overseas. I had left my wife and left my house and my land. And I was by myself over there for 31 days, which it doesn't seem real. I mean, Erica's back here that served in Korea for 6 years, 7 years, you know. But this was my first experience. But I loved it. It was great. They treated me wonderfully. I mean, I wasn't like sleeping under a tent. And that I had a nice room and a bed and everything. But I'm telling you, I did okay for like the first week. But I don't... Gary doesn't do real good without Sue. Gary needs his Sue and his, and the, you know, kids and grandkids. And man, it was starting to, you know, work on me a little bit. And I actually, the place where I was staying after about the second week. Now, I was preaching. I mean, God had me busy. Monday through Friday, I taught at this sort of a little impromptu Bible college. And we had like 70 people coming during the day. And I would teach the Bible from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. We took a 30-minute break for lunch. Every 2 hours, we'd take a 15-minute break. But other than that, 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Then Friday night, we had a service at a church. Saturday, there was two services at different churches. Sunday, I did two services at different churches, and I did that for 31 days. God had me busy. Still yet, though, when I'd flop into bed at night, there's no Sue. And I'm... After about the second week, I'm looking, there's an alley in the back, you know, and I'm thinking, all right, I could call a taxi. That taxi, I tell him, pull around behind in the back. I'll have my bags ready. Get me to the airport in Johannesburg. I could leave him a nice note. You're nice people, but you're not Sue. I'll see. You know. But see, God was moving over there, and even though it was my first experience to be away, but as they heard the truth of God's Word, and they saw the gifts of the Spirit in operation, God was healing and moving, and people got saved, people got baptized in the Holy Ghost, plus they had just never heard the revelation knowledge that was coming forward. Near the end of that trip, the man that hosted me, he's not a multimillionaire, but he's pretty well off, you know. He come to me, his name is Brom. His real name is Abraham, but everyone calls him Brom. And he's an Afrikaner, you know, got a big old barrel chest, and they're tough, you know. He says, Getty, it's always like etiquette, Getty, you must bring your wife and you must move to South Africa. You must bring us this message from God. I will build you a house and give you the land. And I go, I don't know what my wife will say about that. We have children and we have grandchildren. He says, I will build each of them a house. And he could do it. He was that well off. And for the first time I understood houses and lands and brethren. He was like a father to me while I was there. His wife was like a mother to me while I was there. Everyone there, I didn't lack for anything. If I needed anything, I mean, they would jump on any opportunity to do anything for me. If you lived in another country and Dave came to your land and you found out he needed anything, how many of you would provide whatever he needed? Family, brethren, houses, lands. And I understood finally, that's what the Lord is talking about. Listen, when we give, it's really not, he's not talking about a hundredfold return. He's not talking about some way to pad your bank account. He's talking about the real reward in this covenant. It's not silver and gold. It is the precious fruit of the earth. That's the only reason Jesus hasn't already come back. The Father is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. When you give into this offering tonight, it's not about your harvest. It's about His harvest. These messages are going to go forward. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get set free from religion. And that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads for a moment. I only know two ways to give in the New Testament. One is as a steward of the Lord. He has no hands but the hands on His body to put an offering into any offering. So if you listen and you hear Him say an amount, sometimes Sue and I hear Him, He say, I want you to give $50, I want you to give $100, I want you to give a certain amount. If we hear Him say an amount, then that's what we do. But then if you say, Gary, I'm listening, but I don't hear Him saying anything. Well, the other New Testament way is let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. Not by necessity, not because it's law. He wants it from a cheerful heart. That's giving it from a heart of love and gratitude. Amen. There's offering envelopes on the back of the pews there. You can fill those out, make checks payable to GCC. If our good-looking, anointed, stronghold-free ushers will come. Janet, you want to go ahead and begin? We'll pray just a moment over this, and then you can give to the Lord as they come by. God bless you for your giving, by the way. It's expensive to do one of these. God bless you. God bless you for your giving. Father, I just thank you right now. I already know that we have already been blessed with every blessing, every spiritual blessing, every person in the sound of my voice is a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing upon your people, but we also thank you that you put the giving nature of your own Son into every one of us. Father, we thank you for the blessing upon this offering. Father, what we do ask is that you touch these loaves and fishes. I know many of us would like to give more than is possible tonight. Father, what we can give, touch it with that anointing you have that takes a little and causes it to accomplish a lot. Cause this offering to send your gospel farther around the world than the devil would ever think possible. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the privilege of it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead.